by the region's artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen at Catskills Curated. NarrowsburgUnion.com.
You're listening to Radio Catskill, your NPR station for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania.
Good evening and welcome back for another episode of The Local Edition, local news and information that keeps you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. Coming up, we'll be joined once again by Eugene Thalman, farmer, talking about agriculture, nutrition, climate, and his upcoming class. He does monthly classes in conjunction with Catskill Mountain Keeper and SUNY Sullivan on nutrition and wellness in the Catskills. It's our monthly check-in with Eugene Thalman. That's coming right up in the second half of the program. That conversation will be live, by the way. And this conversation happening in the first half of our program is also live. It's Thursday, typically when we check in with Wayne County. And according to the county, Wayne County, quote, the COVID-19 pandemic and the necessity of virtual work in school prompted many people to choose Wayne County in Northeast Pennsylvania, NEPA, as their new or full-time home. And for those of you who aren't aware, Northeast Pennsylvania commonly gets abbreviated to NEPA. Well, now, tomorrow is Northeast Pennsylvania Community Day, NEPA Community Day from 4 to 6 p.m. It's a day that's been designed to provide an opportunity for these new residents as well as longtime residents to get to know the local community. And right now, live on the phone, we've got Ara Fisher, Executive Director for the Cooperage Project, here to talk about NEPA Day. Hello, Ara. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you, Jason? Thanks for having me.
I'm tripping over my own tongue. I hope you're ready, more ready to speak.
I'm ready to also trip on my own tongue, so let's do this.
Oh, it's Thursday. It's Thursday, and it was a short week, too.
What day is it? It feels like it should be Monday, but also Friday. The holiday weekend is really messing up for me.
It's a strange blend of days, sure. And of course, in the midst of a two-year stretch of a two-year-long lesson that time is now meaningless. So anyway.
It's very true.
So do people? This is something I don't know if I've ever really thought of. But do people say NEPA like when you read NEPA? Like I've written it a bunch, but I don't often say it out loud. Do people say NEPA for Northeast PA?
People do say NEPA, yeah. And as somebody who's not from NEPA, I was like NEPA, and then people would just say NEPA. I think you can do either one, or you can just say Northeastern Pennsylvania. But Pennsylvania is weird. It's one of the only states that you say PA. Like, yeah, I live in PA. Like, I'm from Indiana originally, and we don't say, like, I'm from IN.
Yeah.
We say from Indiana, so it's all weird in Pennsylvania, but we love it.
Yeah, and so, well, it's my only point of reference is where I'm from, which is New York, but that's two syllables, so it doesn't even make sense to say NY. You got New York, you got that hard
exactly.
K at the end, gets it out. So we're talking about NEPA Day, Northeast Pennsylvania Community Day. I gave a brief overview, but can you tell us more about what exactly it is and when it's happening?
Sure. So, I mean, the name NEPA Community Day, we kind of planned this pretty quickly, and we probably could have come up with a little bit better of a name because, you know, we do encourage folks over the border in the Catskills to come and be a part of it. But we were thinking, like, your neck of the woods. We wanted to invite people that are new to the area, that are maybe part-time residents that are here full-time, or maybe during the pandemic they moved here, they wanted to get out of the city entirely, and they'd never heard of this part of, you know, NEPA or PA or wherever, and they wanted to maybe, you know, change it up a little bit, get out of the city. So they moved here. They ended up here, and we're really excited to have them, but we really haven't had a lot of opportunity to engage with them in a bigger gathering, so to speak, due to COVID and everything. So the idea kind of came from a conversation that I had with a board member who's actually also a commissioner here in Wayne County, Ms. Jocelyn Kramer. And we were chatting about some programming ideas, and she had shared that from some homeowners association reports that Wayne County has seen like 10 to up to 20% increase, population increase. And, you know, don't quote us on that, but it's kind of some what we're hearing in the last 18 months. And that's a really incredible increase in population. So who are these people? Where are they coming from? Like, we are really excited to have them here. I'm sure they have lots of great ideas and stories to tell and expertise to lend. And we want to welcome them into the community and connect with them. So that's kind of where it all came from. And as somebody who moved here from the city, from Philly, 4 years ago, so I'm a transplant, an event like this would have been really awesome if I came across this within the first few months of moving here. I would have been all about it to kind of get to know my community and, you know, an afternoon. And there's alcohol and some food involved, too. So.
Alcohol and food. You know, we're on the other side of Labor Day now, and that puts you in the mind of, you know, back to school time. And what you're saying actually reminds me of, I don't know if they still do this, but years ago there used to be, you know, an open house night at school.
Yeah.
You know, have an open house night for just like community to come in, check out what the school's up to. It's a really good thing for new parents and new families to the area. It sounds like you're kind of doing like an open house day for Northeast PA.
Yeah, and instead of like going around to different teachers' classrooms, you can go around our pocket park and chat with some over 20 nonprofit organizations are going to be there, and to kind of get more information. The goal, hopefully, is that by having nonprofits here and organizations, it's a way to, you know, show A, what we have to offer here in Wayne County. But for volunteers, if you want to, maybe you're interested, you have a passion, you want to get involved in your new community, there's going to be an array of different organizations that you can kind of connect with and chat with, and how can I help out? And as a nonprofit, you know, the Cooperage, we would love to get more volunteers. We would love to, you know, get more people on our newsletter and get engaged into our organization because, you know, as you know, a nonprofit, we rely on public support to do what we do. And we also rely on the public to, as a community organization, to guide us with our programs of what the community wants to see. So all of these new folks that are coming into our community, maybe they have some new awesome ideas of things that we could do to kind of all come together in our in the community and move towards that. So let's kind of rambling on there, but, you know, that's the goal. And
And nonprofits, you know, we're always looking for that opportunity to connect with people, like whatever, whether we need volunteers or financial support or just general public awareness of what we do. And you want the public to be aware of what you have to offer, because so many of us as nonprofits offer resources to the community. You want folks to be aware of that. You mentioned there, like, some of what you're hoping to get out of it in terms of your role at the Cooperage. Are you aware of what some of your other partners might be looking for, and especially the county, which is not a nonprofit, it's the county itself. What are they hoping to get out of this?
I think awareness for their cause and for their upcoming events, also to build their base of supporters. I think we all have collective goals of just building awareness. But, you know, speaking of, you know, maybe an individual organization, for example, Seeds, you know, maybe they want to share some information on where you can go and get different sustainable energy resources and connect with those people that are moving to the area. Maybe they're remodeling their home, and, you know, it's a good for them. It's maybe a good opportunity to share their knowledge and their information to the region of what they have to offer. Wayne Tomorrow, you know, is a branch of Wayne County. So it's a collective of a lot of folks from Wayne County that work towards a common goal and a vision for the future of our community. So it's a perfect event for them to also be there. Actually, most of the people that are going to be present, all the organizations are all partners of Wayne Tomorrow. And this is a big, you know, strategic goal for that group, is to work towards just a collective vision and working together and collaborating as much as possible. So on a county level, I think we all want to, you know, build resources, build awareness, help, like broadband, for example. Maybe someone just moved to Wayne County that has a solution for broadband. We can figure some things out together. So I think at the county level, it's just, we're all collectively looking to build a brighter future for Wayne County and the surrounding region as well.
And I want to ask you about something, and you might only be able to respond anecdotally, but I kind of want just to have a conversation about this. You were speaking about the motivations behind, you know, what led to doing this and the idea behind it, and not knowing exactly how much the local population has increased by, but having a definite feeling that it definitely is increased. Over here in Sullivan County, what my perspective has been is that, and I grew up here my whole life, so I could say that in decades past, it was very much a strictly seasonal region. You know, it was Memorial Day to Labor Day, maybe a few weeks after, maybe something's going as far as Columbus Day, and then things would pretty well shut down for the most part here. And it seems like even before the pandemic, that was becoming less and less the case, that there was more people stretching the shoulder seasons, making it less of a seasonal thing here. And then the pandemic hit, and it's almost like all bets are off, and there seems like there's just so many more people here, and people are here much less seasonally, and they're almost as likely to be leaving the area during the summer and then coming back for the winter. Are you right. seeing similar things like that on your side of the river?
Yeah, I would say so. It's been a interesting year to really investigate that because of COVID and everyone kind of hibernating and programming not really being in its full capacity, both, you know, in our organization and with the schools and other partners that we work with. So we haven't had as many programs happening in our building to say that, oh, we've had a great increase in our winter program offering because of all the new folks that are living here. We really didn't have a lot of winter programming. So I think right. that this winter, hopefully, you know, COVID doesn't get too outrageous again, but hopefully this winter will be a good tell for us all of what we can now expect with our new population and new folks that are living here full time or more in the winter and wanting to participate in programs.
Right. And I mean, I see it in the businesses too, you know, those businesses that were able to make it through, you know, seem to be, you know, lasting and at different times and open, like restaurants and things like that, you know, things that you wouldn't necessarily see in the off months. I feel like we're seeing more of that. So I just hope.
Definitely. And I live right in town in Honesdale, and I feel like the traffic never really let up. You know, the summertime, there was always a lot of traffic, especially I live just off of Route 6. You know, going towards Walmart. So the traffic I've really noticed this past year hasn't fluctuated that much. I mean, definitely in the summer it picks up a little bit, but the winter usually it's quite dead after a certain point of time. So I will say that there's more vehicles out and about in Honesdale.
Speaking of the changing seasons and the winter, we're heading into the fall now, and then after that is the winter. What does the Cooperage have on deck? Apart from your NEPA Day hat, like what other events you have, and what is some of that programming you're hoping to maybe do during the winter if all things stay good?
Sure. So it's not going to be full scale what the Cooperage used to be in the before times, where we'd have over 350 events coming through our door a year. We're scaling back a little bit with the in-person programs, mostly because we don't really know, like right now we're in such high transmission rate. So we're easing back into concerts inside and some indoor programming, as well as renting our space out. And our farmers market will be starting up every week from November, the first weekend of November through the end of April. But as far as concerts, I mean, we used to probably have at least one, maybe two concerts a week. And we're going to probably do about 2 to 3 this fall and winter just to kind of get our feet back in the water. But we don't want to have to cancel a bunch of things and just kind of ease back in a little bit with staffing and all of that. And I'm going to be going out on maternity leave here any day now, so we're going to be a little bit short staffed. So that's our plan. We're going to have the farmers market going. We're going to have some concerts. Our space is available for renting for private parties. We are starting up we do a lot of youth programs. So our after-school program, Pop-Up Club, which is for middle schoolers at Lawn Pawpack and at Wayne Highlands, that is going to be gearing back up starting next week. And we're really excited about that. Last year was we had a lot of hurdles, and this year we're going to be going back here at the Cooperage and over at the Silk Mill for Lawn Pawpack. So that's exciting, and it's a big piece of programming that we do. We also do our Bright Kids Youth Program, which is yoga and mindfulness in the classroom, and we're kicking that back off as well, in addition to other things that we're doing here during the farmers markets. So we have stuff in the works. The best way to really kind of keep up with us is to follow us on Facebook or to sign up for our mailing list. But we are working our way into getting back. But we're also like welcoming any ideas that folks may have. It's a great time to not necessarily reinvent yourself, but to pivot, right? That's the theme word of COVID,
right?
Is to pivot and maybe see what other programs people would like to have in our space. I mean, our space, the Cooperage, is all about a place for big ideas and community of what they want to see happen. So if someone has an idea of a type of program they'd love to see happen in our space, we are all ears and we're open to that. So yeah, we're ready for the new era here.
And that's all the more reasons to open up the doors and have a big community day and have people come in. I will just point out though, real quick, just to let you know that in the meantime, while you get up to that point where you're having more concerts more regularly, those concerts that Radio Catskill did in partnership with the Cooperage Project that were recorded over there, some of them are getting second life on our Sunday stage program. So we're keeping the fire going that way here.
Oh, that's
on
awesome.
Air, you know, so Sunday nights at 7, it's not always from the Cooperage, but we just past week we played one of Bill Mays's benefits as we said goodbye to summer. We played his summer songs series that he did for us.
Oh, that's
so
fun.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to connect with some of the concerts we have coming up this fall to get those recorded so they can live on into infinity.
But before we go, let's just remind folks one more time, Northeast Pennsylvania Community Day, it's happening tomorrow over at the Cooperage, right?
Tomorrow at the Cooperage from 4 to 6 p.m. It's free, family-friendly. It's going to be outside as much as possible and also inside. We have a lot of people that are going to be there, so we're going to have to kind of squeeze in both inside and outside. So we are asking folks requiring masks to go inside just because, like I said, we're high transmission rate right now. So to keep everything safe, so bring your mask. Bring your ID. We'll be checking IDs if you would like to have a complimentary beer or wine. We have beer from Wall and Paul Peck Brewing and Here and Now, and also wine from Three Hammers. We're also going to have complimentary Creamworks Creamery ice cream and cold brew from Mocha Origins, as well as their chocolate. So, and then finally, come hungry too, because we're also going to have dinner fare available for sale from our friends at Hot Barons. They're going to be bringing the grill and doing a whole thing. So come hungry, come ready to chat, and bring your mask.
All right. Well, Ara Fisher, I want to thank you so much for joining us. I also want to wish you good luck and pending congratulations as you approach maternity leave.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure chatting with you, Jason. You have a great night.
Great. You too. Be in touch. Thank you. Well, there you go. This is how it goes on the Local Edition. Like we said, live local conversations that keep you connected with news and information in the Catskills and right there in Northeast Pennsylvania, Northeast Pennsylvania Community Day, happening tomorrow at the Cooperage from 4 to 6. When we come back, we'll be speaking with Eugene Thalman, local farmer, nutrition in the Catskills, and more. Stay tuned.
This Week in This American Life, one of our producers, Parker, grew up in Baltimore like I did, and she explained to me that she and other black kids of her generation were terrified going to this history museum called the Great Blacks and Wax. This week, Parker goes back.
Affected by them trying to shove the guy in the oven.
What? What?
No, that's Underground Railroad. It's a fake oven.
Oh, okay. What's suitable for children? This week.
Saturday at 6 on Radio Catskill.
Join Radio Catskill for live coverage of memorial ceremonies and more on a day of remembrance and reflection this Saturday, September 11th. Special coverage from Weekend Edition and NPR News starts at 8 a.m. and continues in place of Radio Catskill, Farm and Country, and Catskill Character. Specials continue in the afternoon with in-depth features from the BBC, Peace Talks Radio, and WNYC in place of Janice Adams, Josh Fox, Jambalaya, and Now and Then. Special September 11th programming here on Radio Catskill.
WJFF, Jeffersonville. Public radio for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. Radio Catskill. On air. Online. On your smartphone. And on your smart speaker.
Welcome back to the local edition. I'm Jason Dolt. And right now we've got Eugene Thalman, farmer who often talks to us about his series, Nutrition and Wellness in the Catskills. And we're going to do that right now. Eugene, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me once again.
All right. So usually we'd be teeing up your webinar that you do in partnership with Catskill Mountain Keeper and SUNY Sullivan, but we're going to let folks know tonight that that's been postponed.
Yeah, we're gonna continue in October, but I'd still love to give some people some nutritional tips and a little insight into what I'm thinking about and such.
Well, what are you thinking about? Let's start with the fact that we haven't technically entered autumn yet. That comes in another week and a half. But we've moved past Labor Day. So this is typically a time where we're looking at the change of seasons going from summer to fall. In terms of nutrition and agriculture, what are people thinking about, or what should people be thinking about as we make this transition?
Well, it's definitely becoming fall, as we can all feel the crispness in the air. But what I really want to talk about is, you know, now we can use our ovens a little more tactfully. You know, it's not so hot during the evening. You know, we might be cooking soups and stews. And one thing that's different this year than other years is the pumpkins and squashes are becoming, they're done earlier. Like, I've just pulled all my pumpkins out of the field. They're curing right now. And it's a great time of the year to have some roasted squash dishes, either in the oven or some pumpkin soups with coconut milk, and starting to get that vitamin A to let your cells become a little more hardened for the winter time. You know, we're going to be able to roast root vegetables in the ovens and have some soups with root vegetables. So I just wanted to point that kind of stuff out now because it is getting to be colder out.
You know, I know there's a lot of folks out there, if they are being mindful of their caloric intake, a lot of folks watch out for carbs. A lot of what is available, if you're eating locally and naturally and seasonally, through the fall and into the winter months, there is a lot of carbs in those rooty vegetables. But those vegetables have more than just carbs, don't they?
Oh, yeah, tons of nutrients. I actually just listened to a talk on diabetes, and one hypothesis was saying that, you know, to get insulin, your muscles may become insulin resistant when you actually have too much fat in your muscles. So it's kind of an odd way of thinking about it. But if you think about, you know, an overstuffed muscle cell not being able to accept carbohydrates because carbohydrates can turn to fat. You know, that's one way to look at it. And the other thing, too, that we have to think about when we're discussing, like, you know, these macronutrients like carbs, fat, and protein is what are they coupled with? For instance, like, let's think about something really, really sweet, like a date, even though a date really doesn't grow around here, but it has soluble fibers that trap and hold some of those sugars to mediate absorption. So, like, if we have a somewhat starchy vegetable like a pumpkin, it's going to have a lot of other things in it that are, like, such as soluble and insoluble fibers that are going to hold those sugars back. And the sugars aren't, in essence, simple. It's not like eating a tablespoon of white sugar. It's more complicated than that. Like, for instance, we have something called fructooligosaccharides. They're basically sugar molecules, but they're linked up in a way that they don't get absorbed like that. They actually take the enzymes of you to break them down. And if we look at this stomach that we have, or this soupy material moving through your digestive system, you know, you got to think about things of like quantity and, you know, how well your enzymatic reactions are working. And then when you think of it like that, well, say you don't have, you're eating it with other things. There's a lot of things going on. Not everything can get absorbed. And those unique fibers and polysaccharides are actually going to go and feed what we like to think of as another organ, which is your gut microflora. And that's going to feed that and turn it into other things like short-chain fatty acids, like butyric acid. And that's going to then nourish your digestive cells. So, you know, even though that squashes and pumpkins and a lot of these vegetables have lots of carbohydrates in them, they're not necessarily bad. Actually, in contrary, I mean, I was just quite amazed by, like, you know, you could eat nothing but fruits and vegetables and have an extremely healthful diet. And most people don't realize that.
Right, right. Do you have any favorite? I mean, there's the ingredients. There's the fruits and vegetables that you can be eating, but then there's what you do with them. And apart from the nutritional side, like when it comes to the flavors and the tastes and the textures, as you say, we move into these colder months. You get to use your oven more often. Are there any particular dishes or recipes that you're really looking forward to, because now you're going to have the ingredient in season, or it's going to be cool enough where you can be using your oven? Like, what have you been waiting for this time of year to be able to have again?
Well, potato leek soup, but it's a little early, in my opinion, for potato leek soup. It's funny, other farmers will joke and they'll be like, yeah, that's a real wintertime type thing, but that's a favorite. Another favorite of mine, too, is just like a nice, like, mushroom potato tossed in a little bit of oil and salt, maybe with some onions and garlic, and just roasting that in the oven and, like, getting the heat of the oven so hot that it like caramelizes. It's like a baked French fry, and then you can like scrape it a little bit and turns into like a potato hash. Add a little bit of rosemary to that. I always love doing that. And then something really saucy and hot, you know, like, for instance, we're still going to have tomatoes. Another thing I want to tell everyone, too, is everyone has tomatoes. Oh, not everyone. A lot of people have tomatoes right now, and they wonder, what do I do with all the green tomatoes? Well, pick them all, put them in your house, and they'll probably ripen over time, and they're great for sauce tomatoes. Say right now you have a lot of tomatoes that are going, stick them whole in the freezer, because in the middle of the wintertime, you can take those tomatoes and throw them in sauces and soups. So one thing I have going on right now, as we speak, is I've taken my shishito peppers, eggplant, and tomatoes. This is a very nightshade-y dish that may cause some inflammation, because unfortunately, nightshades cause inflammation in the body. Yeah. But I'm going to freeze a bunch of this because I don't have those available to me seasonally and locally in the middle of the winter. And I find that the quality that's coming from wherever is not very, very good. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take those vegetables right now. I'm letting them stew and cook down, get real soft. I'm going to add a can of coconut milk with some curry powder. And I'm going to add some string beans that are fresh and a little bit of, like, beets and some greens, like kale, and really, like, get that into a nice stewy mix. And then I'm going to add chickpeas to it. And then I'm going to serve that, like, saucy, really rich on a bed of rice. And it's going to be a very filling meal. And if you do like meat, you know, having a little bit of meat in there stewed in is good. But this is a very traditional Indian dish. And my mouth is watering. I'm looking forward to all of the very mixed vegetable, saucy, fatty, hot soups. And we're talking about good quality fat.
Right.
We're talking about like coconut. I mean, I even am a pretty big fan of ghee. You know, that's clarified butter. It depends on where you want to go into this health routine and what's working for you. But the most important thing about nutrition and, you know, just healthful living over a lifetime is you got to learn what works for you. You got to be in tune with your body. You have to know. And if you're not in tune with your body, all you have to do is, it's not that simple. All you have to do is breathe deep to center yourself. All we have to do. It's a funny statement right there.
Mm. Yeah. Well, Eugene, we got talking about food, and time flew by. We're actually at the end of our segment, but when's the next time you're going to be doing one of these classes?
It's going to probably be the second or third Wednesday in October, and we will be obviously on WJF beforehand to talk about this again. And
all right. Well, yep. We'll check back in with you then. Eugene Thalman, local farmer, and talking about nutrition in the Catskills. I want to thank you for joining us again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, there you have it. Time just flew by there. That's the local edition. We do it every Monday through Friday at 6:30. And hey, on Wednesdays, you know how we have we always check in. We do the latest on jobs and the economy with James B. Huntington. We're going to Honesdale in just a moment. James B. Huntington's going to be the guest DJ on Ramble Tambles. You want to stick around for that? This is Radio Catskill, and we